starting with the ISB update from Lily.
Thank you, Osman. And good morning, everybody, and thank you for the new members for joining. This is a very important consultative group for us, and we're very, very interested in hearing your feedback, so thank you for being a part of this. What I thought I would do is just flag a few things in Agenda Paper 1. Hopefully everyone's had a chance to review the slides and take a look at the status of all of our projects. But the way they say if you go on a safari, it's time up already.
Yeah.
Well, the way they say if you go on a safari in Africa, you sort of want to look for the big five. Well, this year we have our big five projects that I wanted to flag for you, and then I can open the floor to any questions. One of the biggest things that we're working on right now is IBOR and the consequences of IBOR reform and the uncertainties resulting from that, the consequences on hedge accounting in particular. We're looking to make some amendments to IAS 39 and IFRS 9 as a result. The timing obviously is quite urgent, so we're looking to issue our exposure draft in May with a 45-day comment period. And the plan is for us to issue the final amendments by the end of the year. As a result of that, though, we are devoting quite a bit of resources in this area. So some of our other financial instruments projects are moving at a little bit of a slower pace. They're not on the back burner by any means. So financial instruments with characteristics of equity is actually on your agenda today, as well as dynamic risk management. A little bit of a delay, still moving them forward, but just not quite as quickly as we were initially hoping. The second big one is IFRS 17. I think you've all been probably following that quite closely. The board had 25 issues that they started deliberating back in, well, the list came through in October and began deliberations thereafter. There are, I'm looking to Laura, seven, is that right? Seven where?
I'd say nine.
Nine, okay. Seven, nine. Nine. Where the board is looking to possibly make some amendments. The full package will be coming to the board in April with the plan to seek the board's permission to begin the balloting process, likely to have a shortened comment period than the normal 120 days, but still long enough that the stakeholders can provide us with meaningful feedback and have sufficient time to digest the proposed amendments. Plan is to issue the exposure draft end of half one, continue deliberations end of the year, and then hopefully finish the final amendments in early 2020, so sometime in half one of 2020. Third big project, one that you're all probably quite familiar with as well, primary financial statements. We are getting very close to finishing deliberations. We have a couple more sort of tangential issues or sort of rounding out the conversations that we've already had before the board. So nailing down some things related to financial entities, providing the board with some feedback that we've recently heard on some of the tentative decisions, and then having the board make the decision of whether to issue a discussion paper or an exposure draft. Obviously, if we issue an exposure draft, then the amendments can get out to the market sooner rather than later, but there's risk in doing that if the proposals in there aren't fully fleshed out. So the board needs to go through that analysis. The plan is to issue the consultative document by the end of the year, but timing is very tight. But we know this is a very important area for investors, so the staff and the board is working diligently to try to keep moving that forward. Fourth big one, this is going to be a very busy half too, goodwill. I think you all are quite familiar with that one as well. And I see Tim in the background, so he can jump in if I misspeak. But the plan for goodwill is to issue a discussion paper also in half two. Where we are right now is, again, rounding out the deliberations with the board. We have two big meetings coming up, one in April, where the discussion will be around the disclosure package that the board would like to include in the discussion paper. And you've already seen much of what the staff's recommendations are at the previous meeting. We had sought your feedback on it. But the disclosures really are around the idea of meeting the objectives of whether an acquisition is in fact a good investment, and then assessing subsequent performance of that acquisition. So it's sort of speaking to a little bit of, if we acknowledge that the goodwill impairment test may not be perfect, certainly has confirmatory value, maybe not the greatest in predictive value, but if you can offset some of those imperfections through disclosure, then maybe the overall package might produce beneficial information or improved information for investors. So that's April. And then May will be the big conversation about what preliminary views the board would like to put into that discussion paper as it relates to impairment testing or possibly amortization. And the question at hand for the board here is whether there is sufficient evidence to warrant a change to the existing accounting, which I think is a little bit of a different question than, well, do you prefer amortization or do you prefer impairment testing? It's acknowledging the board's already made a decision. We already are in a world where we have impairment testing. There's a lot of history with that. And so the hurdle for change, the cost benefit is a little bit different. So the evaluation will be, what's the new evidence that we have? What's the what are the benefits of possibly moving, and then seeking the board's decision about what to include in that discussion paper. So stay tuned for that. That's also on the agenda for half two. And then the final one that we are seeking to issue either a discussion paper or an exposure draft will be on rate regulated activities. This also will be coming out in half two. I know that you've all been involved in this topic for a number of your meetings, but the plan was initially for the staff to begin drafting right now, but we're a little bit delayed on that because what we observed from our November and December meetings last year was that there was a little bit of confusion in how the staff was articulating the model and maybe how the board might be understanding the model. So we've gone back down to just kind of redefining, rearticulating, clarifying the model, and then the staff plans to come back in the May timeframe to present that to the board and seek sort of final views before going into the drafting mode. So stay tuned. There's quite a bit coming up in the second half of the year. So does anybody have any questions? Just gave you back 20 minutes
sorry.
On your agenda.
Sorry.
On the goodwill question, is that potentially moving to amortization of goodwill model?
Well, so that's the question at hand.
Because you've got the question of what's your useful life for goodwill and how do you determine that on a reliable basis?
Right. So the first question for, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that was it. Sorry.
Okay, yeah. So the first question for the discussion paper is, what are the board's preliminary views? It could be amortization. We don't have enough evidence to move to it, and so let's keep the impairment model, or it could be moving to amortization. I think and both of these would still be presented in the discussion paper. It's just a matter of articulating what the board's preliminary view is. If we were I think initially the plan would not be to go into all the follow-on questions. So if we were to go down an amortization path, we recognize that there are a number of questions about what's the useful life? How do you determine, is it straight line? Is there some other methodology that would need to be applied? Because this is just a discussion paper, we're not seeking to answer all of those questions just yet, because it could become a moot point depending on where the feedback comes out. So, Tim, I'm looking to you if there's anything else you want to add to that. Yeah. Okay.
I have one question, if I might. Just you included a flyer for Hans's speech on climate change related reporting. I didn't know whether there was a particular reason. Did you want comments about that, or was it just in case we wanted to attend?
It was just an FYI in case right. You wanted to attend. It's organized by someone who was previously a visiting fellow here at the ISB.
Okay. Lily, maybe just a question from me on the eyeball issue. So as you mentioned, it's something you're kind of expediting for publication in May.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think CMAQ as a group has discussed it in any great detail in the past. So I guess we'll look at the exposure draft and
that's right.
Comment on that.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand in terms of the accounting effects, and maybe this is a separate discussion, but just trying to fully understand the rationale for the urgency for this one. I appreciate IBOR is coming to an end. But it's kind of been well trailed, and I guess from a credit risk perspective, we're looking at what banks are doing, and we're kind of quite relaxed about it in that sense.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to understand what the urgency is from your perspective.
So I'll give you my simplistic non-FI articulation, but I have my FI expert right here to my right, so he can jump in and correct me. But I think the main concern is the effect of the uncertainties on financial reporting in hedge accounting. So there are questions around, well, with these uncertainties, does that basically bust your ability to say that these are effective hedge relationships? And the consequences of that would be quite severe to the financial reports. So,
just to pull back, that's exactly where the urgency is coming in, because in a couple of areas, as of now, you need to make what we call forward-looking assessments of your contracts under IFRS 9, and also we have to do IAS 39, because by the way IFRS 9 works, people have a choice of either using 39 hedge accounting or 9 hedge accounting. And both standards are consistent in that. You need to make some forward-looking assessments. It's effectively what that is trying to capture is that if you are saying I have a derivative and I'm going to not take the changes in fair value through P&L, which is an exception to the requirements, you have to demonstrate that you have in the future also that matching, which will let you exclude that from P&L. Now, with the changes in IBOR coming up, we know that I don't know what that transition after IBOR is going to be, because the problem is for us, we have got different jurisdictions moving at different speeds for that. So inevitably, at some point, people will not be able to make this assertion that in the future, my LIBOR-based derivative will match my LIBOR-based bond, for example. So that is where we are trying to give the relief, because we don't know how the change will happen. What is the uncertainty? What is the economics of that uncertainty going to come in? So in the interim, we don't want to blow things up completely in this area. So that's the first phase of the relief that the board has agreed. The board has also agreed and put on the project a second phase, like when actually the transition happens, there will be consequences. There will be economic impacts of how much is the value transfer, if there is, when that LIBOR moves to RFR and everything. But that we will come to in the second phase, because we need to know exactly how those changes are going to happen. And we don't know those as yet, because regulators are working on it as of now. So that's how the project's divided. The board will consider it. I'm not sure that we will necessarily have to do standard setting, but it's something that is on our radar so that we are aware of how markets move. And that's how the project is divided. And
so just to be clear, the exposure draft that we're talking about coming out shortly only deals with the first phase and issues leading up to IBOR reform.
That's a critical point, Nick. Thanks, because a lot of people are asking us what happens when the contracts are amended. We will come to that in the second phase. As of now, what we hear from the markets, it will get more and more difficult to make that highly probable assessment or that assertion that LIBOR-based cash flows will exist for long-term contracts very soon, given the deadline for that move is becoming closer and closer.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's helpful. Any other questions for Lily? Okay. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Already ahead of schedule.
Glad I can help.